Welcome to episode 274 of After the Credits. I'm your co-host, Marina Antunes, joined today by fellow co-hosts.
Colleen.
And Dale.
Welcome, guys.
All right. I feel like I let down the team. There's no witty response there. Hail Satan.
You really need to see that doc. December.
December.
Yeah. It actually is December.
Last of the year.
Oh my God.
Here comes 2020.
This year flew.
It did. Yeah. It feels like it's been a long time since I saw you guys.
I'm getting old.
We're all getting old. But no, we're getting classier.
No, I'm just getting older.
No, we're getting classier.
Yeah.
It just is what it is. That's the truth of it.
My knees disagree.
Yeah, my knees have disagreed for a long time. A long, long time. And I've actually been feeling better lately.
And suddenly, I have plantar fasciitis. Hooray! Oh,
no. I had
a corn.
Which is
why I'm wearing shoes at all times. Oh, no.
That was more painful than I ever thought the name would imply.
Oh, I know. They can be really, really bad.
Boy. Have those stupid little circle bandages?
Yeah.
Do those work?
I guess it would keep the pressure directly off of the...
That's true.
I just don't wear shoes. I just put on the little treatment thing where there was a little dot that the circle bandage over, and it took, I don't know, 6 weeks, but it basically corroded it off.
Nice. You got silic acid.
Whatever it was. It looked pretty gross.
It did the job, hey? That's
all. Oh, it did the job. I can walk without
the pain.
The pain in the toe that was actually way more dissuading of walking than I would have expected.
Ouch.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Lovely. It's snowing.
That's so weird.
It was snowing.
It's Vancouver. It's December. It's Pitt Meadows, but it's December. We don't get snow in December.
Apparently
we maybe do. Later January.
Apparently we do.
Well, it won't stick.
No. It better
not stick before I get home.
Your car will be okay. Come on.
If it got really bad overnight, I think I just phoned my boss. And he's like, it's slow right now, right at work? Yeah. It's like, I'm taking another day off. Okay.
Snow day.
Yeah, pretty much. Should we talk some movies?
That would be good.
If we must.
Unfortunately, this is a movie podcast.
All right.
December 6th, The Aeronauts.
I thought this was supposed to have come out already.
I don't know what's going on with it. I think it may have gotten pushed. I'm actually surprised it's getting any sort of big screen release, because apparently the reviews have been very mixed.
I remember a whole bunch of buzz over the summer, and I haven't seen it, so I'll throw that caveat out there, but I was a little bit upset at it being an historical drama, at how they changed the facts.
Oh.
I'm kind of conflicted, because they did it to put in a female character.
But oh, okay.
On the other hand, you look at all of the women that have been ignored in history, if you really wanted to highlight women in a historical thing, why the fuck didn't you just pick a story where a woman has been ignored?
Oh my God, the first black female pilot who was denied a license in the U.S., so she went to France to get her license and came back as a barnstormer? God damn, do a movie on that lady.
The whole story of DNA and the woman that took the photographs, actually it turned out her role was way more significant than history kind of wrote. Mm-hmm. There was a woman astronomer who her work was credited to her husband.
Yeah.
That's scratching the surface. So why you had to actually change history to do that? I don't know. Maybe it's a good movie, but if you said
I don't know. They've taken basically a direct up balloon flight and tried to make it into a suspenseful thriller from what I saw of the trailer. You're falling asleep on the top of the balloon with altitude sickness, and you start passing out, and you're gonna go fall off the side. And it's like, oh my God, this is a suspenseful thriller, isn't it? Jesus,
I would have been far more interested if it was just a straight up steampunkish Victorian kind of fantasy sci-fi
Phineas.
Drama.
Just go full on Phineas Fogg if you're gonna do that.
Jules Verne, yeah.
I'm not into steampunk, so I'm totally fine. This is not that.
Don't get me wrong. I want a hot air balloon.
I like Tom Harper. Wild Rose was awesome. So he's had two movies this year. This one is definitely the bigger budget one. I still don't think it's going to get much of a wide release. It'll end up on Amazon Prime. It's an Amazon Prime production. So it'll end up on Amazon sometime early next year, I would guess. It looks like it could be fun. I like Felicity Jones and Eddie Redmayne. So I'm not expecting much more than that.
Okay.
Playmobil the movie.
Hard pass.
I got to say, I'm not interested.
Closest thing, I think, to a Christmas movie I saw on the list.
Probably. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I like the studio. They did The Little Prince and what else did they do that I really liked? Moon, Guardian of the Moon. This, I don't know, does not look particularly interesting.
Playmobil equivalent of Lego.
Yeah, the movies. European of... Well, it's funny because Lego is also European, but for whatever, Playmobil never really got to the level of Lego.
No.
I always felt that Playmobil was considered the baby's toy, even though like Lego had Duplo kind of thing. Yeah. But like babies played with like Playmobil, whereas the bigger kids played with Legos.
Right.
Yeah.
I guess, you know, you got to make a movie out of some toy. So this is as good as a selection as any.
Cap guns.
Sure.
Animated
cap guns.
Judging from the trailer, it may cross over to being one of those interesting to parents as well as the humor looks like it could be clever enough so that, you know, it'd be a good movie to watch with your kids, maybe.
And I really like Lino DeSalvo, so I hope it does well so he can make more movies.
Mm-hmm.
He's a great animator. Moving on to December 6th, also The Portrait of a Lady on Fire.
This looks kind of cool.
This is amazing.
Is it? Have you seen it?
I saw this at VIFF. There was big drama because France didn't select this as their movie for the Oscars.
Really?
Yeah, which caused like a big hubbub. It's quite good. It's lavishly beautiful. So,
hit us with the storyline.
So, it's about a female painter who is hired to paint the portrait of a young woman who refuses to have a portrait painted.
Mm-hmm.
So, they've had like a bunch of male portrait painters arrive, and she's literally like refused to pose for all of them. And the one that ended up, like, that actually painted her, she went and like damaged the face.
Yeah.
It's pretty awesome. It's all in the trailer. But yeah, so this, you know, lady portrait painter shows up under the guise of like being her companion for a short period of time.
Mm-hmm.
So she's supposed to draw her while she doesn't know that she's being drawn. And then drama ensues. It's basically the story of these two women and the maid and their adventures over a short period of time. And it's gorgeous.
Yeah, it looks gorgeous. It looks psychologically weird, which I kind of like.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Just,
it's glaring really, at each other's
and
you bitch, look away.
There's a lot of that, but it's very, very good. It's lovely movie.
Excellent.
I highly recommend it.
I would watch that.
En brazos de un asesino, in the arms of an assassin. I gotta say, I did not look far enough for a trailer. This did nothing for me.
Oh, no, it looks really interesting.
Really?
Actually. Oh, yeah.
Okay, hit us up.
It's about a woman who's basically the mistress held captive situation of a drug lord. And the assassin is like a guy for hire. And through circumstance, she kind of stows away and escapes with him and wants to escape this drug lord, and stuff happens.
As the title suggests, it sounds like a soap opera.
In the trailer, she's like, I want to do what you do. I just want to get the hell out of this life. So there's that too. Yeah, and a love story. But it actually, the dramatic beats looked interesting to me. It's subtitled. Yeah. So, yeah.
It's Spanish from the title.
And actually, it's weird. Yeah, like if you were using IMDb, they did this a little bit strangely. They didn't show a trailer, but if you went into the movie clips, there was a red band trailer in there that you had to do your age for.
Obviously did not look hard enough.
It was like kind of dumb. But no, actually, I found myself strangely interested in this, even though it's shot in a very dark cinematic kind of style that I normally don't go for. And it does sound a little bit like a soap opera, which I normally don't go for, but this had some other things going for it.
I'm totally okay with telenovela style stuff. Why not? Little Joe, which I highly, 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 highly recommend.
Have you seen this?
I saw this at VIFF.
Oh, I was on the fence. Like, oh, this looks good. But
so
this,
good.
This could go so wrong so quickly.
It's like Body Snatchers with plants.
Of this entire month, that was the one that, like, watching the trailers, I'm like, fuck, I need to see that.
So, full admission, I have not seen any of the director's other movies, though they've always been on my watch list. Something has always put me off about them. When I saw this on the VIFF schedule, I'm like, okay, it's Ben Whishaw. This shit's happening for me. So I went to see it, and I was like so blown away. I have a feeling no one else liked it as much as I did, but I fucking love this movie.
So it's a plant biologist working for a company that may or may not be evil. That's hard to tell, but they create a plant that makes people feel better, and the trailer has a lot of foreshadowing of shit going really badly wrong.
Yeah, yeah. Things go really wrong. In really interesting ways. And it has like the best score of the year.
You know what I really liked about what they were showing in the trailer was all of like this really believable human motivation.
Yep.
Like you don't often see that. Usually it's just someone that's just creating shit because they can and things go horribly wrong or because they want to make a ton of money. This looked like it was the motivations were a little bit more believably human. Yeah.
No, and I mean like technically speaking, I mean, I'm not like a plant biologist. I'm not a biologist of any kind, but like I wish I could be, you know, if this was, but I mean, the goals.
Don't sell yourself short.
But the goals, like the goal of the characters is so like believable. And it's the kind of thing that I would totally see somebody doing. And I'm sure this shit's being done all the time anyways, and we're just not aware of it. So yeah, this is just one instance where it's gone horribly wrong. And they find out about it too late.
I look forward to it.
It's quite good.
It looks awesome.
Also opening on December the 6th, Midnight Family, a documentary about ambulance for hire in Mexico City, which I understand is like a really common thing.
That's crazy. Like,
yeah.
When I think about it, that's of all the things I could just come up and like make like a story of, like the thought of having a private ambulance service is just beyond me.
The documentary, if you weren't paying attention, would almost look like a dystopian future style.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
Show.
The only reason I know anything about this, even before seeing the trailer, there was one of the podcasts that I listened to did a show. I think it was Rough Translation did a show on like a family that did exactly this.
It's insane.
Yeah, it's crazy. And the reasons for it are just as crazy. It's like, well, America isn't that far behind. Just saying.
You're racing to get to a racing other ambulances to get a pickup, hoping that they have money
to pay. Yeah.
Bribing the cops. Yeah.
Yeah. It's insane. And yeah, it looks just insane.
Yeah.
It's the kind of thing that's like it's too good to be true. Like you couldn't make the shit up.
Yeah. Thank you, being born in Canada.
Having said that, I don't think I could watch that.
Yeah, it might be a little rough for me. I'm not quite sure if I could do it all in one sitting, to be totally honest. It might be a little too dramatic for my tastes. I don't do well with blood anyways.
Well, it's the fact like these people, like A, they're trying to make a living, support their family, that they're also trying to save lives.
Yeah.
And they have to struggle so hard, like to think someone who basically dedicates themselves to a certain extent to basically keeping people alive.
Yeah.
Have to struggle that hard. It's like, ugh.
It just all looked so goddamn depressing. And yeah, I already know the world is fucked. So.
I thought for sure they were going to flip and that kid in the ambulance was going to die because. It's like, oh my.
On December the 13th, a total turnaround. Talk about like the polar opposite. Jumanji, The Next Level.
You gotta love The Rock, man.
I liked the last Jumanji.
I still haven't seen it.
With The Rock. It was delightful.
I did not see the first one, but
I haven't seen
just
it
the
either.
Line. I think my eyes are brown. All of you is a different. My eyes are a different color. All of you is a different color.
I fear they're going to have sequel-itis. Like the last one avoided the Jumanji sequel-itis because it really was a completely
different
story.
Yeah.
And the things that they played around with were completely different as well. It was like literally, we're going to put people in different bodies that, you know, so like the hot chick went into Jack Black, right?
Yeah.
And so you have some instant humor there, if maybe a little bit trope-tastic, but they, to me, they pulled it off really well. This one, they're dealing with somewhat different characters, but the same video game characters. So The Rock and Karen Gillan. And I don't know. Like, it, the trailer felt to me too much like the trailers from the last movie. Oh. And I'm not sure we quite need that story. Mm. But I'm going to give it a chance. I mean, I was really pleasantly surprised the last time.
I guess I better watch the first one.
I think, I mean, it's not great cinema, but it is, you know, like we talked about being depressed.
Yeah.
It is a good movie just to sit down. It is a lot of fun. You feel good at the end. It's that kind of movie.
Yep.
And we all need a place for those kinds of movies, in my humble opinion.
I agree.
How can Rock have that much personality?
Who knows?
Have that much charisma?
I wish I knew.
Like, if he's a D&D character, like maxing out strength and charisma,
yeah,
there'd be nothing left. But there's still plenty of him.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. It's pretty crazy. Also on the 13th, another remake of Black Christmas.
Another Crontast.
I don't know, man. I mean, I'm
this is the third one,
is
right?
Is this one
maybe
even remotely? Yeah, 2006. There was one.
Yeah.
I don't even remember what that was. I remember specifically thinking, "Well, that sucked. I'm just gonna watch the 1970 whatever the hell one."
8 or 79, something like that.
I thought it was earlier than that. It came out before I was born, after I was born. 74, well, maybe.
This is female directed. That might
Sophia
make it interesting. Yeah. No,
so I don't know. I mean, I think the original was already fairly.
That whole point of view, like you never saw the killer.
Yeah, but even beyond the quote unquote gimmick of that, because I mean, at the time it wasn't a gimmick; it was a groundbreaking new approach to telling a story. But I mean, I think the original character was already kind of a feminist icon. I mean, she was shit talking like big time.
Yeah.
So I mean, the movie has always been infused, at least the original. I don't remember seeing the remake, but I assume that if they borrowed from the original, it was already like imbuing some of that like feminist like.
I haven't seen either of them. Yeah.
I think the original is totally worth seeing, and it's not like it's a slasher movie. Like it is, but it's not like it's not a, like if you're not into horror movies, you can't watch it because it is more than just like a slasher film.
It's the start of the slasher genre, but like this, that's like saying like a standard motorbike went into the cruiser, like
I would be hard pressed to say to just anyone watch Texas Chainsaw Massacre because that's like one type of thing. This is like in the realm of horror movies. It's I don't think it has like that same visceral
suspenseful slasher rather than just
like an all out bloody
gore slasher. Yeah,
yeah. So I mean, I'd highly recommend it. I mean, I'm curious about this.
That's hard to express.
I mean, I'm really curious about this, not only because of the director, Sofia Takai, who did Always Shine, which I'm a really, really big fan of. I quite like that movie. And it stars Imogen Poots, who I really like. So I mean, right there, I'm like, okay, I'm willing to give this one a go. Probably not in theaters, but I'll see it at some point.
Yeah. I'll probably just watch the 70s version again.
Yeah.
I like that one.
I've got a DVD of that kicking around.
I don't
somewhere.
Like change.
I'm okay. with you. Also on the 13th, Richard Jewell, Clint Eastwood returns with his Christmas / awards bait movie.
I want to say good for Clint on this one.
I didn't realize how old he is. He's like 90-something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like Richard Jewell got totally screwed over by the authorities for something really thin. Like I remember that happening in real time.
I don't.
And I remember the media doing their post angst when it did no fucking good at all about, oh, maybe we reported on like some thin speculation too early and totally ruined this guy's life.
Yeah.
So I will probably see this at some point. I didn't see anything in there that made it super compelling, but I just thought like good on Clint Eastwood for like shining a light on this poor bastard who basically got destroyed.
The scene where they're getting him to say recording of him going, there's a bomb at Centennial Stadium. It's going off in 30 minutes. Okay. Louder.
Yeah.
They're like, it's obvious like, this guy's probably a little almost on the slow side thing, and he's struggling with it. And so he does it and is like, again, three times, go. Again.
Oh, seriously, coaching.
Again. No. Like, they're just like, you're being super dicks to this guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm certainly curious about it. You can never really write off Clint Eastwood. as far, I mean, he's a really capable filmmaker.
Yeah. I've seen most of his quote Christmas movies, yeah, unquote. And
El Torino.
I've liked them. Like, they do. He does have a real heart. He can't seem to translate that into a broadly compelling movie, at least not broadly compelling to me. But not all of them, but like 90% of them, it's like, oh, that was a nice little movie. I'm glad I watched that.
Yeah, no, he's a really like capable filmmaker, and sometimes he really hits it out of the ballpark. So hey, I'm curious. Also opening on the 13th. Oh, I'm so excited, guys. I cannot believe I have to wait till this actually doesn't open in Vancouver until after Christmas. I'm so pissed. Uncut Gems.
Really?
Yeah, it opens in January.
I watched this I don't think I finished the trailer.
Oh, I didn't find the trailer.
Oh, dude.
This is another one where I think you had to deep dig two levels.
Cursory, one search, don't see it. I'm done.
Oh, really? Oh, guys. And the thing is, you probably actually dig this one.
Yeah. Is it Guy Madden-esque?
No.
Oh.
So it's from the guys that did Good Time 2 years ago with Robert Pattinson, about the guy that basically it was like a nonstop, like 90-minute movie where he and his brother, who's slightly autistic or slow, are like running away from some guys.
Yeah.
So this one is Adam Sandler as a New York
jewel dealer Jew,
who's kind of involved with some people that he shouldn't be involved with, borrowing money from people he shouldn't be borrowing money from.
Is Adam Sandler Adam Sandler?
No.
So he's more punch love drunk sort of Adam
not
Sandler.
Not even that. He's actually acting.
Yeah. Acting. Okay.
He's actually acting, not being Adam Sandler.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. Because he falls right into the camp like I have Jim Carrey kind of thing. When he's not allowed to be himself, I'm all on board. Okay.
Yeah, I think you might dig this
he
one.
He is in full on actor mode.
Yeah. Nice. Okay.
I think it looks fantastic. I'm very excited.
Isn't that sad? Most of the actors that are themselves, I fucking hate those guys.
Yeah. Dark tone, dark style, frenetic, like, and things are just going down the toilet super fast.
Sounds marvelous.
I agree. I really like the Safdies. They just have this, like, Their style of filmmaking has like an energy that I really buy into, except for the first movie, which I fucking hated with such a passion. Oh, it didn't work for me. So I was when Good Time came out, I'm like, oh, I don't know if I can do this, guys. Like, I really disliked the first movie a lot. So it took some buying into, but yeah, I was full on board. So I'm totally game for this. Also on the 13th, A Hidden Life, Terrence Malick returns with like a 3-hour epic about a saint.
it's 3 hours long?
It's approximately like that. It's like 173 minutes. 2 hours.
Because it looks awesome.
It does look amazing.
But also Terrence Malick makes me pause and go, oh God.
My understanding from the people that have seen it, I think Bill saw it. Basically, a few folks saw it at VIFF. I skipped it because it was really late.
Yeah.
The one screening that they had was like at 9 o'clock on like a Sunday.
So midnight, like, and then work day. And yeah,
it's just the timing was totally off.
Gotcha.
So I skipped it. So I do want to catch up with it before the end of the year, because basically it's folks are like, it's Malick, but with like a script.
Nice.
So it's not like the Malick of the last couple of years where it's been very sort of meandering.
That's instantly what got my sort of hackles up, going, oh God, I'm not sure I can sit through 3 hours of Terrence Malick sort of like mind thoughts.
No, so
you were about to go, storyline.
Yeah, so it's about, Franz Jagerstatter, who was an Austrian man who was a conscientious objector to the Nazis.
Yeah.
And basically was, you know, they did lots of shitty things to him. And eventually down the road, the church eventually blessed him. So he's a saint. Like a real life, like he was a real life saint. So hey, happened. But it looks stunning. I mean, it's Malick, so
yeah,
always look amazing.
Yeah, and you can't complain about that guy on that count.
No, but I'm happy to see him. I'm happy to see a Malick movie with story.
Nice.
Also on the 13th, Seberg. This is Benedict Andrews' like biopic on Jane Seberg, who was like a big French New Wave actress who Yeah, went through some shit.
Yeah, yeah. She started to make a break here, and very shortly thereafter became Poison kind of thing.
Pretty much.
There's a podcast called You Must Remember This. That yes. Yeah, there's a series called Jane versus Jane. So it was Jane Fonda versus Jane Sebring. It's really freaking good, and if you don't want to see this film, it's worth listening to that series. It's pretty interesting.
They were versus? Because I thought they would be on the same side sort of thing.
No, it was just sort of like...
They were both getting slammed by the FBI.
Their lives, and they sort of like examined what was going on in their lives, like why Sebring basically came to a very quick and whereas Jane Fonda, although became Poison in her own right...
Still managed to stay
around. And
that would be really interesting.
It's not so much a versus like they're against each other. It's more like...
A comparison of because she got in with some
Black Panthers.
And then the FBI totally...
Yeah, lots of political activism. It sounds like she may have been a little like more susceptible to, you know...
The FBI bullshit.
Yeah. Yeah,
so slander campaign or whatever it was.
Pretty much. Yeah. So Kristen Stewart stars as Jane Seberg. There was actually a really interesting interview. I think it was the Actors on Actors talk, and she did an interview with, of all people, Shia LaBeouf. And it's like super fascinating because their careers are actually like very... Like, they're both child actors. They came up at about the same time, but their careers have taken... And they're very different kind of people, but they have a lot of similarities.
Yeah.
It was a really interesting conversation, and she talked a little bit about playing Jane Seberg. It was really interesting.
Nice.
And it's from the director of Una. He's mostly with direct stage productions, but Una was his feature film debut a couple of years ago, which I thought was really, really good, and it was an adaptation of a play. And it kind of felt like it, but I think it kind of it did better than I expected. And Seberg, I thought, looked really interesting. And it also co-stars... his name isn't on here. Somebody help me. The Falcon guy. Anthony Mackie. Mm. Anthony Mackie co-stars.
Yeah, the like her, hate her kind of thing. Unlike so many like Hollywood starlets and actors and that, like she did lead an interesting life. Yeah,
Interesting persona. And yeah, You Must Remember This is a great podcast.
I love that podcast.
All the love for Karina.
They're doing Song of the South right now.
Yeah, I know. It's pretty interesting. Also on the 13th, Cunningham, a documentary about iconic, dance dude.
Interpretive
dance. Yeah. Merce Cunningham. I actually had no interest in this. And then somewhere along the line, not that long ago, I saw a trailer for it in front of something else. And I thought, oh, that's what that's about. Because I'd seen a screener come through for the awards thing, and I was like, yeah, well, I don't know what this is. I'm going to skip this. And it actually looks really interesting.
As you know, dance films are not totally usually high thing. On my list. No.
I'm with Colleen on this one.
And although every once in a while I am delightfully surprised, I don't think I will be on this
very
one.
Very experimental. Yeah. And, I mean, it was shot in 3D, which I think... Yeah, it's kind of like Pina.
What?
Yeah, there's been it's been a really interesting thing for dance films over the last few years. I think it started with Pina. There's been a number of like 3D dance films. This was one of them.
Okay.
So I think he may miss a little bit on that part, but I don't know. It looks interesting, especially if you're into that sort of
dance. It looked really in the weeds. So people.
Very much so.
Very much targeted at a particular audience, yeah.
So December 20th, the week before Christmas, this little movie, I have no idea, this Star Wars thing, I have no idea what this is.
Star Wars?
Yeah, no clue.
I don't get
Star Trek,
it.
What?
What, is this like Hollywood celebrities battling each other?
Is this like H.G. Wells product or something? What?
Dan said to me, I'm not joking, the day the tickets went on sale, Dan's like, we got to buy Star Wars tickets. I'm like, if you want to see Star Wars opening weekend, you have to buy the Star Wars tickets. And he did. So we're going on the Saturday.
Yeah, I have been hearing nonstop nothing about but this. And the Disney Plus Mandalorian.
Baby Yoda Man.
I have a a coworker, Ian, who will not shut up about the Mandalorian.
Dude,
and
Baby Yoda is legit fucking amazing.
Baby Yoda is pretty cute.
I'm not buying Disney Plus. There is no way I am funding the Disney Corporation. That said, like, he did show me a still because he knows I do have a great big hard on for Jawas. I don't know why. I love Jawas so much, man. I can't get enough of Jawas. But they have gray Jawas now. So mm-hmm. I'm like, great. Now I'm going to have to make a gray Jawa outfit. So I'm hoping our friend Valerie isn't listening because she's put a moratorium on no spoilers from anyone until I get Disney Plus. So. Yeah. No. But I've seen the trailer. I'm just not excited at all.
Really. To me, it's just a movie. I don't know, man.
Same here. I'm a bit of a completionist at the best of times.
I will see it because I'm a
completionist. I will see it. I'm curious, but I have been underwhelmed by this particular franchise. I mean, the high point was seeing Carrie Fisher in this last set. The story seems, well, blah blah blah. It's like basically TLDR. Yeah,
Carrie Fisher not putting up with anyone's bullshit because she's no longer 20 something.
Yeah,
no, I don't think so.
Exactly.
I grew up with a diva. I am not taking this anymore.
Yeah. Honestly, I've kind of had it with the fandom too. Like, there was something fun even when I wasn't super interested in Star Wars, with just the joy in the fandom. Like, everybody being around happy people is kind of nice. So you go to some of the stuff, but some of the toxicity that has come out lately.
Look
has,
how they
has
attacked
also,
that Rose character. Yeah, on the, was it Rogue One? Or,
yeah,
Jesus, I don't need this shit in my life.
No, I agree. It's like that with almost everything, though, right? At some point, depending on how deep you get into the weeds, as you guys say, you know, of any fandom, you're always going to find.
Not with Dolly Parton.
That is true.
The one exception.
But okay, but like Dolly is like the one exception to every rule.
It seems like it.
You don't like have to like her, but that doesn't mean she's not an amazing person.
Yeah.
It's true. But I don't know. Like, it just happens to be that Star Wars is like now the biggest thing in the fucking universe. Yeah. And, you know, that the voices are so much louder that it's hard to not hear them. I don't know. To me, it's just another movie. It's a franchise. They're fun. I don't know. It is what it is. You're either going to want to see it or not. So there's that. Another one that you're either going to want to see or not, Cats? Yeah.
Absolutely not. I'm 100%.
This just looks so creepy, guys.
I want to burn down theaters that are going to play this.
Okay, here's my thing. Wow. I've never seen Cats, ever, in any way.
I actually have on stage. One of the very few things I've ever seen on stage.
Well,
I've seen
because
Cats.
A lot of people have seen, it's been on for, I mean, I remember being in high school and being like a choir nerd, and the kids all loved Cats. And I like the one song from Cats. That's the only thing I know.
I played most of the orchestrated things in saxophone.
See, so somebody, like, Cats is like obviously a big thing, but there's like one song that's really good. Like, this thing has lived on one song for however many years.
There was a couple songs I enjoyed, but I don't know, man. I don't know. I honestly don't remember the story. Like, I was just thinking about that.
Let me read it to you. A tribe of cats called the Jellicles must decide yearly which one will ascend to heaven, Heaviside Lair, and come back to a new Jellicle life. Like, what does that even mean?
Someone was on acid
apparently,
and watched some Cats and came up with a story.
Cat people, man. They watched Cat People and they're like, we can make a musical out of this.
Oh,
and it'll
God,
be amazing.
No.
Yes.
It almost sounds like Highlander. There can be only one.
There can be only one.
Well, if all the other cats would then die.
I'm sorry. Even Taylor Swift can't rescue this for me. Sorry, T-Swift.
They do have some really big talent.
They have some
Idris
crazy.
Elba.
Elba. I was surprised about that. Rebel Wilson's on there.
Everybody wants to sing, apparently.
Dame Judi Dench.
Yeah, that's
all
right.
All weird
the
cats. Cat-like CG.
I don't get it.
It's weird.
Like, unless I was like trying to get a break and like absolutely destitute otherwise, like I'd be like going, yeah, agent, I don't want to be in this one particular new.
It's either going to be a complete disaster or it's going to make killer box office. I'm not sure which one. It's opening against Star Wars. Right.
I take my cat script and try and get me the new Kevin Bacon, whatchamacallit, the worm one. You Tremors. Know. Tremors. There's got to be another Tremors coming out. Yeah. Oh, get me in that.
I'm not planning on seeing it, but yeah, if it gets good buzz, I might give it a whirl.
Down the road, yeah.
I'm a hard pass no matter what.
I'm with you, Colleen. Nothing can help me on that one. December 20th also brings us Bombshell from Jay Roach, director of Trumbo, starring, well, the three superstars in Hollywood at the moment, Charlize Theron, Margot Robbie, and, oh my God.
Bridget Payne?
No. Nicole Kidman.
She's
in my mind went blank. I'm like, I can see her. Why can't I remember her name? And it's about the Roger Ailes scandal.
Yep.
From the female perspective. I'm in. I saw a trailer and I was like, okay, bring it on.
This looks great. This is the kind of drama that I can go in for.
Just too many blondes in one place. No, like, it looks fine. Know, it looks fine.
but no, actually, you joke about that. But this is the interesting thing. Like, I have seen TV shows and movies where, you know, you're having a hard time telling some of the women apart because the characters are so interchangeable. In the trailer, right, they all are distinct.
Look at Erin Gray. She went and basically got her hair straightened kind of thing and got a nose job, and she no longer looked like Erin Gray. She looked like every other 20-something Hollywood starlet. Mm. And then she got no work.
The only time it's happened for men that I can think of is the Chris's.
Oh,
you know, but you see, there's a whole bunch of, like, especially the young 20-year-old actresses that I see them. I know who they are in the movie, but outside of the movie, alongside other movies, when doing interviews, and it's like, oh, which movie was
there? There's a meme about Hallmark Christmas movies.
Oh, yeah.
And there's like 9 of them. I'm like going, the girl in the center has got it because she has slightly darker blonde hair and her hair is completely straight instead of wavy.
I'll give it to Netflix. They have brunettes in their Christmas movies.
There you go. Right.
Just saying. And people of color.
Yeah.
Which helps. Charlize Theron, though, there was something so odd when I saw her in the trailer because you can tell it's her.
Yeah.
But she looks so different, and apparently it's all makeup.
Okay.
Which is crazy to me because she looks like a totally different person.
Yeah, she does.
Nice. It's nuts. But yeah, that looks fantastic. Moving on to After Christmas. I actually think these open, the majority of these open on Christmas Day. But IMDb has them listed as the Friday. So 1917, which is Sam Mendes' new World War I film.
Kind of looks awesome. I kind of like it. Aesthetically, it looks awesome.
It is awesome.
It is awesome.
I had a chance to see it. Dale missed out.
Yeah, my
you should
bad.
Have come. It's amazing. I highly, highly, highly recommend it.
Excellent.
I recommend seeing it on the big screen.
I will mention that to my other war loving junkies at work.
And you'll be okay because it is Steadicam.
Nice.
Like it plays as one continuous shot, though it's more of like a collection of long takes. And it's totally fine. Yeah. There's no like shaky cam or anything like that.
Well, like Atonement, like there was all that. That was fine.
Okay, so it has surpassed that single take in Atonement was for the longest time like my favorite.
Yes.
This surpasses it.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
It like just the opening alone, like the first series of is just like
because I love me some World War One chicken walks.
Yeah, it's really, really, really good. I highly, highly recommend it. And George McKay, who was in Captain Fantastic, he was one of the older kids in Captain Fantastic, which came out a couple of years ago.
Okay.
With Viggo Mortensen about the father that was raising all the kids in the bus. Yeah.
That's right.
And he was kind of a standout in that, and he's like the star here, and he's really good.
So
really good.
This is two British soldiers that have to infiltrate behind the line to get to a troop that's about
to make a giant, giant mistake.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, the Germans cut the lines so they couldn't communicate with this battalion on the front lines. So hence why they sent two people to. It's quite good. Quite good. Also on Christmas Day, Greta Gerwig brings us another version of Little Women.
Wow. I wonder how many times Little Women has been
cares?
Made.
Who cares? I have no issues with them remaking Little Women, quite honestly. I think I've seen like two of the versions. I think the Wonder Rider.
There's been a gazillion TV versions.
Oh, yeah. And there's been like at least three, maybe four film versions already. I've never read the book. I've seen a bunch of the versions, and I've seen probably some TV versions. Never actually read the book, so I think I may need to fix that at some point. But you know, once you know the story, you're kind of like, do I really need to read the book? But I may still do it at some point. I think this looks great, if only for this cast and Greta Gerwig.
This cast is pretty stellar.
Saoirse and Florence Pugh and Emma Watson and the Chalamet. I don't know. It looks fabulous.
Cool.
Are you guys interested at all?
I'm curious. I mean, if I was invited to go, I would go.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I'm a hard pass.
Oh.
Yeah.
Also, on the 25th or 27th, however you look at it, Spies in Disguise, about a super spy.
Turns into a pigeon.
Yeah.
And at the second that I realized that's what it is, it's like going, I think I'm not going to watch this. I'm just going to watch Mike Tyson Mysteries because they have a pigeon in that I'm pretty sure is more entertaining.
I thought this looked like it could be a lot of fun.
You know, it looks eminently watchable.
It does, doesn't it?
It
looks charming, I thought.
I wanted to piss on this and
I laughed
charming.
At the trailer more than once.
I don't want to see it in the theater, but it looks eminently charming.
I agree. Also opening on Christmas Day, Clemency.
And we should say it's animated.
Oh, it is animated. Yes, yeah. Of course. Clemency with Alfre Woodard about a prison warden, prison warden it looks very heavy.
Way too heavy.
It looks very, very heavy. Very heavy for Christmas Day.
Yeah. Seriously.
So it's about a prison warden who is the warden of a prison where they do executions, and she's kind of, you know, one final execution and it's weighing
struggling
heavy.
With it.
Yeah. I was like, kudos that we're going to see this from a very personal view of the the people in charge of the execution, because they're so often just portrayed as like automatons.
Yeah, exactly.
So I find that aspect interesting, but man, the scenes in the trailers, it's just all so dark and heavy and
very dramatic.
And
it just seems so dark for Christmas Day. I'm just not quite sure.
I didn't even think about that when I watched the trailer, but it's an interesting choice for Christmas Day.
Yeah. Also on the 27th, Just Mercy. This is the new film from Destin Daniel Cretton, who did Short Term 12 and The Glass Castle. With Michael B. Jordan, about a real life civil rights defense lawyer who is like looking at, I guess he's
more death row more for Christmas Day,
pretty much. But this one has the whole redemption, you know, somebody doing something out of the goodness of their heart aspect to it. Also co-stars Brie Larson and Tim Blake Nelson. I think it might be okay.
I just don't have it in to watch it. No.
I really like the director, even though I didn't like The Glass Castle all that much. But
I will. I left kind of neutral from I didn't see anything compelling in the trailer. But these kinds of stories tend to interest me. So if it does get good reviews, I can see seeing it down the road. Mm-hmm. But I didn't see anything that really made me want to go, yeah, I'm going to go see that.
Yeah. Also on the 27th, Yip Man 4. From the director of Yip Man, who's done all of the other ones.
Yeah.
I saw the first, I don't think I've seen the other two, so I think I'm going to keep with that trend and probably not see the four.
Haven't seen any of the, Hong Kong, Kung Fu, action.
Yeah, and I remember when Yip Man came out, it was like the biggest thing.
Oh, yeah, it was huge it was awesome. But. Yeah.
Well, and I do recognize a couple, Donnie Yen is really big.
I mean, and Donnie Yen is old now.
Yeah.
He's been making these for a long time.
Well, and that's what the trailer looks like. It looks like some of these other action movies we've seen where the heroes are now portrayed as older and a different tone.
And I like Scott Adkins. He's not the greatest actor, But he's got charisma, and he certainly, like, he has the physicality to play the role. I'm certainly curious, but I was thinking, you know, this will be the time, because they're saying it's going to be, like, the last film in the franchise. Like, this will be the time for me to actually watch all of them.
Yeah.
Because I haven't even seen the first one. It's still was on my watch list, like, the year it came out.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's the kind of thing that always keeps getting passed down. Year.
Oh, yeah, you have a big watch list, so I can see that happening.
Everybody has a big watch list, but mine is fucking ridiculous.
Yes.
By my standards, I'll never get to watch everything I want to watch before I die. And then closing off the year, Song of Names from Francois Girard, which I missed the VIFF and I'm really bummed about because I wanted to see it because I really, really like The Red Violin.
Yeah.
And I really liked Silk. So this is another war / music story about these two young men, one of whom is a musical prodigy who I think is Jewish, and he's been like rescued from the atrocities in Germany, only to like run off at his big opportunity. And then the son, a friend of his, which is the son of the man that rescued him, spends the next, I don't know how many years, like searching for this guy. So the adult guys are played by Clive Owen and Tim Roth. I think it looks great. The reviews have been very mixed.
But I like the concept. Is it based on a true story? Is it just a fictional thing?
I couldn't tell you.
Because I love the concept of someone going, you know what? I so don't want to do this. And just buggering off and becoming a whole different person to avoid it. I kind of like that.
Yeah. So I'm kind of curious to check that one out for sure. And that's it. Nice. That is the month.
Not a overt Christmas movie to be found in the bunch.
But, you know, there's lots of them on Netflix, man. And Hallmark, if you prefer cable. They're around. There's lots of them.
There's always The Ref. There's always Die Hard.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
I have to admit, there's a few t-shirts that have been coming on my social media feeds that they're... like Christmas 1989 Nakamaki thing, and they have someone falling off the tower. I'm like, yes, I kind of want that.
Nice.
Ugly Christmas sweater.
I love it.
Yeah.
So Vancouver has a lot to offer over the next like 4 weeks before the end of the year. If you're just a fan of movies and if you're trying to like watch shit before, the end of the year for your countdown list, the Van City Theater is still Netflix Central. So we've got Marriage Story. This is Noah Baumbach's new film, which is playing for the entire month of December. I highly recommend it. It's Adam Driver and Scarlett Johansson going through a divorce, but it's a little bit more involved than that. Laura Dern and Ray Liotta are fucking awesome.
Okay.
Laura Dern is really, really good, but Ray Liotta comes out as a big surprise. Varda by Agnes. This is Agnes Varda's last documentary. I'm not a huge fan of Agnes Varda, but I kind of watched this, I think it was just after VIFF, because I liked Faces Places and everybody said this was really great. And even as a non-super fan, I can honestly say it is a documentary to watch because it's almost 2 hours long and it's not only her like last hurrah, but she goes over her entire filmography and how she became a filmmaker to begin with. And it's really interesting to hear her talk very openly about, you know, her experience and what it was like being like basically the single woman amongst a group of men and male filmmakers and her own personal struggles, and it was really, really interesting. Highly, highly recommend it. The Cinema Salon series returns with The Motorcycle Diaries, with an intro by Cal Cote, who's like a local broadcaster. The Two Popes, Fernando Mieles, the gentleman that brought us City of God, turns the tides completely to bring us a fictionalized account of Pope Benedict and the Cardinal Bergoglio's meeting before Benedict left the papacy.
Yep.
It sounds like it's so not interesting. This movie is so good.
Oh, yeah?
It's so, so good. I was super impressed. Bill had some really good things to say about it as well, particularly because he's not religious and he still thought it was really great.
Yeah.
I'm also not particularly religious, but I do have, I had a Catholic upbringing, yeah. So I'm a little more.
You're more grounded in this particular storyline.
Yeah. And I've already said more than once that I really like the new Pope because he's quite progressive.
On the scale of popes, yes.
Yeah, he's very not bad. Progressive. But the thing about the movie as well, beyond the fact that it's literally two guys talking for the entire movie, it's like Before Sunset, the Sunset trilogy, but with popes.
Wow.
But there are a bunch of scenes that I think they may have shot in the Vatican. Like, I'm not sure. But they're really impressive.
They could
have. There's these amazing scenes of them, like, in these amazing places. And
they allow a lot of filming in there.
It's amazing. Like, it's super breathtaking. There is a reason to see this on the big screen. It's really beautiful.
Was there anything in it that the Catholic Church would be upset about? Like, skirting, like, so far beyond, like, practical?
I mean, I don't think so.
Then they'd probably be more than willing to basically rent out the place for film.
I don't think so. I mean, it's very... It does paint both men as kind of having, like, they're not saints.
Yeah.
Right? It's interesting. But I thought, like, thematically, it's a really, really fascinating, like, sort of battle of wits. It's nice. A really good film. I really, really recommend it. The Irishman, if you don't know what The Irishman is, I can't help you. I really can't help you. Oh, and I should mention Marriage Story and The Two Popes are both Netflix films. Mm-hmm. So they'll end up on Netflix eventually. Nice. The Irishman is already on Netflix.
Yeah.
Van City sold out pretty much every screening they had of this movie over the last month. So they've added three more. And when I looked to do these show notes,
that must be pissing off Spielberg, something fierce.
Oh, well, I know.
I'm thinking of Steven Soderbergh. Like, you remember, like, what was it? Was it five years ago or longer? Where he proposed releasing everything on the same day.
Yeah.
And was so thoroughly shat on by the whole industry.
Yeah. He's a forward thinker, man.
This has got to be like a big fuck you, guys. I was on to something.
Yeah. Because, I mean, it's already on Netflix. It has been on Netflix for like a week. When I looked at this, at these two screenings, because they've added three screenings, two of them are already like in the yellow, which means they're basically sold out.
Yeah.
You're so they're going to sell out these three. Yeah. So, I mean, and this is now on Netflix. So, and pretty much everybody has Netflix or knows somebody that has Netflix. Mm-hmm. So there is still appetite to see this stuff on the big screen.
Yep.
Just saying. And it's really good. So you should see it. 63 Up, Michael Apted's, I don't even know which entry this is now.
7 Up?
Yeah, it's a 7 Up series.
7, 14, 20.
Yeah.
You do the math. I give up. It's too hard.
It's been a long time coming. So, this is the new entry playing December 20th, January 2nd.
Tell me they're starting to get shorter in length because they're dying off.
I think I actually didn't look at the running time, but you're probably right.
Be great.
Because I think the movies are getting shorter. Maybe for that reason.
That's dark.
That is dark.
Super dark.
Watch that on Christmas Day, people. Compulsive Liar, Mentoru, which is Canada's like biggest box office success story. Of course, it's French-Canadian. It made like $6 million in Quebec alone. Playing December 21st to January 2nd. They've added a couple of screenings of Klaus, Sergio Pablo's film, also a Netflix title, December 7th to the 26th. What She Said, The Art of Pauline Kael, a documentary on Pauline Kael, playing two nights only, December 28th and 29th. I can't say I highly recommend that one. I had a chance to see it during
Pauline Kael, is she the big girl?
Critic with big glasses.
Yeah.
I don't know. I thought it was okay. It didn't really provide anything new as far as like info on Pauline Kael. Yeah. So it's very like precursory. So, I mean, if you already know anything about her, it's probably not.
Why are we having movies about critics? Just curious.
She was an interesting cultural icon, right?
I know, but...
She was more than just a critic, but still.
There's a couple critics I think rate that, like Ebert. Arguably, Leonard Maltin has an interesting life story. I don't know if he quite rates any veneration, but interesting.
Well, I think at some point, like when you have a critic that affects the culture in the way that some of these critics did, like Kale, like Ebert, like at that point, I think they become more than just critics. There's obviously more to their story than that.
Right.
And Kale is definitely that person. Like, she's one of those people. But I just found the film really, like, just so basic that it doesn't really provide anything new if you know anything about Pauline Kael. So I don't know. I think it's interesting, but not an essential watch. This is
actually the first time I've heard of her.
Okay, then you might find the film interesting because it does provide some insight into why she was important and sort of what her role was in film criticism at the time, because she sort of came up in the 60s and 70s.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think for you, you might find it really interesting. I know a bit about her already, so I found it all very kind of surface level. And then they're running the Best of 2019 series, which is, by the title, like some of the best films of 2019. Most of these are only screening one day. So if you're interested, I recommend checking out the website. Monos, The Farewell, Honeyland, The Nightingale, which I really, 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 really urge people to watch. It's fucking amazing. Pain and Glory, The Atlantics, which is also on Netflix and also really highly recommended. The Souvenir, The Lighthouse is the one I'm most pissed about because it's playing on like Christmas, on New Year's Day. Like, I'm not leaving the house on New Year's Day. Who am I kidding? And I still haven't seen this movie. Ashes, The Purest White, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, The Extended Cut. Don't know exactly what that means because I haven't seen it yet. So I don't know what they've extended. Us, and then The Body Remembers When the World Broke Open, which if you were in the States is already streaming on Netflix. If you're in Canada, it opens theatrically sometime early 2020. At the Cinematheque, I'm very disappointed because Sean Baker is going to be in town for a couple of screenings. The Florida Project, Tangerine, and Starlet. Starlet, I think this is the first time it's playing theatrically locally since its VIFF premiere, whenever it came out a number of years ago. Baker is going to do an introduction and then a Q&A after the screenings. Highly recommend it. If you haven't seen these, they must see on the big screen, including Starlet. Happy Holidays series, running summer 21st to the 30th, includes screenings of The Wizard of Oz, Foreign Correspondent, Gaslight, The Hidden Fortress, Red Shoes, and Playtime. Viva Varda, the films of Agnes Varda, begins December 12th and runs into January 2020. The Gleaners and I, Cleo from 5 to 7, La Pointe Court, Cleo
from, to 5 to 7.
Yeah, I'm not a fan either. The Gleaners and I, 2 years later, and then Faces Places. And then at the Rio Theater, the Jay and Silent Bob Reboot Roadshow, December 1st and 2nd. They've, that's this weekend.
That's this weekend.
Okay, so let's skip that. they're also screening The Lighthouse December 7th, 9th, and 14th. The Irishman December 1st, 3rd, and 7th. Marriage Story December 15th and 16th. And Daniel Isn't Real, which is a really interesting looking thriller about a young man who is troubled and then, like, brings back to life his imaginary friend. The trailer looks really good. So that's one of the reasons that I was like, okay, I'm kind of curious about this one. Playing December the 16th. And The Sound of Music Sing-Along, fully admit that if the Rio wasn't so far away, I would drag my dad to this because he would love it, every second of it. Playing December 20th and the 26th. And then finishing off, the Whistler Film Festival runs December 4th to the 8th in Whistler. Some highlights, The Aeronauts, which we talked about earlier, Vivarium, which is the new thriller with Imogen Poots and Jesse Eisenberg, which looks really interesting, and Bruce McDonald's new film, which is based on a script from Tony Burgess, who last wrote Pontypool.
Nice.
Yeah, co-starring Stephen McCaddy, Juliette Lewis, and Henry Rollins.
Juliette Lewis, you say?
Mm-hmm. Mm. So that should be interesting. I'm hoping to catch that while I'm there. And that's it. I feel like I've talked for like 3 hours. Sorry, guys.
Possibly. I have one.
Yes. Yes.
Just because of when this podcast is being recorded, the last Friday has already happened of the month, so I actually know what's playing at the Hollywood 3 coming in December.
Ooh.
The last Friday of the month, the Midnight Madness show is Nightmare Before Christmas.
Personal fave.
Which is actually after Christmas, so that's good timing. But nonetheless, so I think it's $5, midnight screening, Hollywood 3, Pitt Meadows Theater. And come sing along with Kidnap Mr. Sandy Shaw. I want to do it. Let's draw stars. Or, no, sorry, Santa Claus, not Santa Shaw. Yeah, you know,
I
those
like
little
it.
Things. Sing along. Annoy your people sitting beside you. It's all good.
It's all totally fine.
Okay.
Totally fine.
Totally fine.
Anything else?
Negatory.
Not from here.
Negatory. I love it. So we'll be back in a couple of weeks with the little. I'll get this
hobo media spew.
Yes, theme song and all. yeah. So come on by atcpod.ca. Links to the show notes, all the trailers, all the stuff we talked about. And until next time,
we'll see you after the credits.
White shirt, now with my bloody nose sleeping. Yeah, on your tippy toes creeping. Around like no one knows. Think you're so criminal. Bruises on both my knees for you. Don't say thank you. Oh please, I do what I want when I'm wanting to. My soul so cynical. So you're a tough guy, like you're really rough guy. Just can't get enough guy, just always so puff guy. I'm that bad type, make your mama sad type. Make your girlfriend mad type, might seduce your dad type. I'm the bad guy. Duh. Control, even if you know that you don't own me. I'll let you play the role, I'll be your animal. My mommy likes to sing along with me, but she won't sing this song. If she reads all the lyrics, she'll pity the men I know. So you're a tough guy, like you're really rough guy. Just can't get enough guy, just always so puff guy. I'm that bad type, make your mama sad type. Make your girlfriend mad type, might seduce your dad type. I'm the bad guy. Duh. Somewhere in your cologne.